Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Internet Marketing Unleashed. I'm Scott Patton, the Dean of Blogonomics and Podology, and we've got a very exciting show lined up for you. Google, what have they been up to? And we're going to be answering the question, are celebrities causing Twitter to evolve or devolve? Is it a good thing or a bad thing when you've got all these celebrities clogging up our blogs and social networks? And we're also going to talk about employment companies. You looking for a job? It might not be a good idea to sign up with some of these companies, and we're going to tell you why. But first, I want to bring on board our ongoing guest expert on SEO, the SEO champion himself, Mike Rotkin. Hey, Mike, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'm doing well, Scott. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Well, we usually get together at a set time each week and get ready to do our podcast, the episode. And today we talked for an hour and 11 minutes before we started recording. And we just came up with some wonderful, wonderful things. And I think that's what happens when you get creative people together. We just had a great time talking, Mike. And I just want to thank you for being a sounding board and all the great ideas that you give me that sometimes we are going to be sharing them, by the way, with everybody. Don't worry, but we want to take some of these ideas and expand on them and flesh them out a little bit before we share them with you. And I have to tell you, we have got some absolutely kick-ass ideas that we're going to be checking on, testing on, and working on. It's just going to revolutionize how you do your business. And I don't think that that's any exaggeration at all, Mike. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, because just, you know, without rolling it out and, you know, everything, and you know, it's just, put it this way, you pulled me on this, and it's in my industry, you know, nobody's doing anything better you know, for someone, for their business, instead of just building them a website and a blog and certain things. And I just really appreciate what you mentioned, and and thank you very much for that conversation, and I'm just really excited to talk about what we have talking about today, and then, you know, and then also talk about in the next couple episodes what we agreed to chat about, which will be completely exciting for the users. They will have a huge competitive advantage.
Awesome. And one of the reasons that we got on that conversation is I've just finished writing a short 29-page ebook, which I've called iTunes Exposed. And when I started on the Internet 10 or 12 years ago, the two questions that I got all the time were, how do you make money with a website, and how do you make money with email? And, of course, if anyone was to ask those questions today, we would just get laughed at, because just look at eBay or Amazon, and, you know, obviously people are making a ton of money with their niche marketing and online stuff that they're doing. And how are they doing it? Is they're using email marketing to get the message out and over and to educate their potential customers. Now, as one of the pioneers in the podcasting field, I continually get that question too, which is like, how do you make money with your podcast? And a podcast can be looked at as the same as your email marketing. It can also be looked at the same as your website. And I've been doing a little bit of work on that and research on that, and I'm just finishing up my book, as I said, that answers that question and enables us to use podcasting in the way that we use websites and email marketing today, and I'm really, really excited about that. So I'll let you all know when you can get a sneak peek, and you know, of course, as loyal listeners, you'll be getting the beta version at a discount before we roll it out to the world at large. So watch for that. Should be around the next two or three weeks, I would think. Okay. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm excited. I just wanted to say I'm really excited about the podcast ebook, and to let everybody know out there that you know, I got a briefing on it from Scott before our talk here today, and I actually put my order in. I told Scott, don't forget to reserve me one, and that's the truth, because what Scott came up, I've never heard before, and I've been in this industry for 16 years going on, and I'm completely excited.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. All right.
Definitely.
So we got a couple questions we got to answer here, because Google looks like they're going to change their ranking algorithm. And I guess what has occurred is cyber criminals have been using black hat SEO techniques to manipulate Google. And Google's not happy about it. So, Mike, you're the guy. You and Mike Cutts are like close. You're like blood brothers. What's going on?
Yeah, well, for the record, yeah, he's as close as the internet industry that he can get to keep his job and to keep his confidentiality. But I do, you know, and that's the whole thing. Like, to get close really to anybody, actually, just follow them and read them. You know, you don't have to go shake their hand, you know, so much, or fly down and meet them. And I've met Matt Cutts over the years, but yeah, let me jump into what's going on. This is very interesting. And this is something that I'm really excited about, actually. What Google is doing in a complete, you know, just a real quick briefing is they're trying to find all the websites that are spam sites, all these websites that created link farms that are subcontracting, you know, people just to build a bunch of links or, you know, buy links. What they're doing is from my research, they've started doing that actually about a year ago. But here's exactly what they've flip the switch on is any websites that are not credible or spam sites that are linking into your website or blog, you will get docked. That's roughly the biggest change in algorithm. And here's the thing I was reading, you know, I read what on WebPro News, you know, with Bruce Clay, his interview with Mike McDonald and Matt Cutts' interview with Mike McDonald when they said, Bruce Clay was the one that said SEO is dead, and I completely disagreed, and that was back in December of 08, right before 09. And Google changed the way they do things, and they made this little extra change you mentioned to me, and that is just, again, for the record, that just make sure, like, you know, coming from a standpoint of a website owner or a blog owner, from a non-biased perspective, go to Alexa.com and just check and see what websites are linking into yours. And I know Google, I'm sure, from the way they've changed their algorithm on now docking websites that, let's say you're a gardening website and you have an adult company linking into your site, that's not cool. You know, they don't like that. They want, really, it's always been about the most relative links linking to your site gets the most value. And here's the thing, like if you have, of course, .gov and .edu links, they'll be worth about 100 to 1,000 times more than an average link, but maybe not an average in-linking link. But at the same time, now you got to worry that, again, from what we were chatting, is that, you know, just make sure, my advice is now, since Google did make this algorithm change, is to, if you see any suspicious people linking into your site, because here's what I'm wondering, too, is how is Google going to literally, legally, in a mindset, be able to control this? And they have to put an interface in place, which I'm talking with Scott now, I'm, you know, on the complete algorithm, you know, changes just that they got to. They have to put a system in place, too, that Google should be alerted to that, hey, we can't stop these incoming links. But for right now, until that's not put in place, I'm speaking from a website developer standpoint right now, not an SEO guy. Just email a company and say, hey, you're linking to my site. Take me off your site.
Yeah.
You know, I do not want to be linked to your site.
Yeah.
And
what that's, do you think? There's always, every time there's a change, there's always an opportunity to take advantage of that change. And one of the things that we talked about before we went on the air was the fact that if I'm beating you in the SEO wars that we're having, and then you say, okay, well, I'm going to take the easy way out. I'm just going to go to like 6 porn sites and some scareware sites and some spammy sites, and I'm just going to buy links there to your site, right? So Google sees this and they drop me, and you know, I have a perfectly legitimate site. That's not fair, and there's nothing I can do about it, right? So this is a real problem that they're going to have in terms of, you know, it can come back to bite them. And I think one of the things we've talked about before was the power of authority links, right? And I suspect that if you've got, you know, 40 really good links like the Yahoo directory and, you know, Google News and PR Web and, you know, a few of those types of sites and CNN, for example, or something like that, if you're able to get in there. And then you've got, you know, 30, you know, spam sites linking to you, they probably are going to be able to figure out that that's just somebody taking a shot at you. But it's a real problem from my perspective. And it's a real problem, too, if they don't do something about it, right? Because, you know, people will be searching, you know, people could be searching on my name, and these guys could have, you know, the top 10 results all going to, you know, spam sites, which would be terrible.
Yeah, I agree. And it's going to be rough because, you know what I was thinking when you mentioned all those big companies, Amazon's? I guarantee, I'm pretty sure, you know, without guaranteeing, I just like saying that, because when I mention that, I firmly believe in my mind that Amazon's got real, I'm sure that out of their, okay, like, I don't know exactly how many links. I'd imagine they have at least 500,000 to 1 million plus in links.
Yeah.
I'm sure out of that, there's at least 5% of them that are spam websites just linking to Amazon because they thought they can get credit from an SEO standpoint.
Yes.
So it's going to be interesting to see how Google deals with, if they make that, I mean, how harsh of the change of the algorithm they're going to do is going to be very interesting to see what happens. And it actually could open up some big doors for our, you know, for the listeners and just the average guys out there to actually move in on these huge companies if they get completely docked, which, in all fairness, should happen if it happens.
Yeah, well,
you know, that way.
What I've always said that having a link from your site to an authority site, not from an authority site to my site, is beneficial. You know, how much it is, I don't know, right? But I had a buddy who was a speaker up in Canada, and he. He said, I want to have a page for every province, and on that page I want to have a list of all the speakers. So we did it. And some of those pages were massive, right? Because, like, Ontario's got, like, thousands and thousands of speakers from the Canadian Speakers Association. And it had their name, it had their phone number, it had their email address, and it had their website. And the website link was a live link, right? So www.mikerotkin.com. That was the link, right? And it would link to your site if that's what your URL was. So he started getting phone calls from speakers all over the place because when they searched on, they decided they would search on their name to see how their website's doing, and he was always ahead of them. They'd say, I'm number two and you're number one. How did you do that? Well, he had created a resource, right? He had an authority site where he had, you know, thousands and thousands of very targeted pieces of information. If you wanted to know who a speaker was in Manitoba, there they all were. And there was nobody else that had done that except, I think, probably the Speakers Association. So when you did a search on that person's name, you know, here was this massive piece of information that information was in, linking to that person. And so it was quite funny. So I think the other problem that Google is going to be having to deal with is the fact that they seem to have this fresh content thing is coming to bite them in the butt, right? Because what these sites, these spammy sites are doing is they're putting up fresh content and sort of changing it around a bit so that they're taking advantage of it's new, it's changing and everything else. And that was a problem that they didn't used to have, right? So I think that's another area.
Yeah.
How do you... You know, we tell everybody, you know, blog every day, blog twice a day, Twitter five times a day, you know. So, you know, they're just sliding right in there and doing that. And, you know, how does Twitter decide, well, that's good information, good links, and that's bad information and bad links? And, of course, that's always a problem.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that? That's a very, you know, that's a super realistic approach to what, you know, to what the problem is with the internet. And I think the only way that with this algorithm change, the only way that Google's looking at this, put it this way, I believe what they're thinking, that, you know, they know there's a long road to go. The end links is the first thing they're going to hit, because, you know what, I know for a fact what they did 2 years ago, they went through the adult industry, which I'm, you know, glad about, and completely wiped out sites, you know, rankings, because all these adult sites that actually have a lot of power. And I'm only relating that because I don't take any adult clients, and I don't work on any SEO for adult sites for the last about 3-4 years. But I did before, and I worked on with one gentleman that had about 50. So I got a good grasp of what was going on, because whatever industry, you know, usually from an SEO standpoint that I work on, I research that industry and understand what's going on, who's moving what in any given industry within literally a day or two. But it's going to be so interesting, because, like, BMW, Matt Cutts said, and I know we chatted about this before, but Matt Cutts and Google docked BMW's PageRank power because they were buying links. So that's what they're doing, is they're doing sweeps. So anybody out there literally that's, you know, buying links too, don't. You know, I don't sell any links. I never condoned it. I know that a lot of, you know, like Search Engine Journal and, you know, a couple other of big SEO people, they, you know, like to be a little boisterous and talk about buying links and getting away with it, but it's going to nab them in their butt too as well. And here's one thing too to be very leery about too, and because this is what I, you know, have to watch out for, and I don't think actually a lot of businesses are watching out for, is, again, who's linking to you. Because I got a call, and it dawned on me when somebody called me from Europe and said, hey, my competitor is, you know, trashing my site. I know he's doing something to my site. He made me lose my rank. I can't stand the man, blah, blah. Can you light him up and get links going into him that are really bad, blah? And I just don't do that. You know, I told him, said, excuse me, you know, I don't do that. I'm morally ethical, so I'm sorry I can't do that for you. But when he said that to me, I thought about it. Now, since Google made that change too, just that's what you got to watch out for, is if you have anybody out there, and, you know, and kind of keep your ideas of your websites yourself literally till they get filtered in, because when you start telling people, those people tell other people, and then the word in the industry gets around, and you're, you know, let's say it's somebody that just, you know, is an electric company that fixes electric in any given city, you know, their competitors will find out, and then they'll try to start exploring these other avenues on how to dock you and get you off those major keywords. That's what it's all about on SEO, and Google knows that, and Yahoo does too. And you know what's funny? Yahoo actually started working or announced this deal, not this deal, but this change in their algorithm before Google did, because instead of Yahoo just reported a loss, and don't mind them because they're going to do very well. But Yahoo, you know, just got a new CEO, and the old CEO stepped down, and they made these changes before Google did. You know, you put it this way, they don't announce it. Google makes a, you know, big announcement on, you know, on any given, you know, roughly newspaper when they make these changes. But the good thing is it's just good to know that Yahoo and MSN are not following Google, and they made these changes too. And just, again, just if you do get any links that are suspicious, email those companies immediately and keep track of them.
Yeah.
You know, that's just my thoughts on that, because it's super important, because, you know, Scott, there's some sites that I know of that, you know, that like Blog Catalog, they got certain words, blogcatalog.com, and that's actually an example of an RSS scraper site. I've said it before. They're going to, and I mentioned to the owner, he will get docked, you know, and I believe that, because, you know, you got to have, you know, human interaction of some sort, and, you know, and the best way is to build links naturally. I mean, you know, when you hire reputable firms, that's what they do. And I know you got a good SEO guy up there, Dan, and me and Dan had a talk about that on good link building, and Dan's strategies were agreed on mine, and he had some more advanced, very good, natural link building strategies that he gave to me as well. And I know Daniel's been on your site.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. He's been a guest a few times. Great guy, and he's always coming up with wild and wonderful, wonderful things. And I always listen to everything he's got to say.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. All right. Well, that was great. That was great, Mike. I think it's really important that you look at the type of and quality of your inbound links, and it's going to become more and more important as Google. Basically works to stop these black hatters from taking over. It's the war that's always been and always will be. It's just the way it is, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and, you know, just one last mention on this. If you have any WordPress blogs or any Blogspot blogs that are getting, you know, hit with these spam comments, I have every, you know, blog that I have built in WordPress. So I get, on any given day, 500 to 700 people that are attacking me from overseas trying to get inlinks posted on me. Of course, if I approve one, there it goes. I hit the new algorithm and I get docked. So I don't approve, but just be very careful if you got a blog on what comments to approve. And, you know, just look at the, you know, it's funny. Unfortunately, we have to do that now, and I have to do that. And I'm sure some people are happy that I'm looking at their sites. But, you know, when they get my attention, but I have to look at, if they make a good comment and they put their website in there for me to have it posted on my blog, which I do, you know, if they're a listener and they're actively participating, I will give them an in-link, but be very careful and do some homework now, because we're entering the world of getting it narrowed down, and you don't want to get narrowed down and narrowed out. So
just be cautious
on those links, especially on blogs.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's talk about Twitter now. There's been some celebrities that have gone on Twitter and just, it's tripled or quadrupled their hit rates, their visitors. It's Twitter, I'm sure, is delighted with it. The big one, of course, is Oprah Winfrey. She started up on Twitter, and she's got over 552,000 followers. But here's the thing. She's only got 10 people that she's following. And so does that make this more of a one-way conversation, whereas Twitter, of course, is set up microblogging as a two-way conversation. You follow people and you have people following you. And I'm not saying it should be one-to-one, but when you've got 50,000 times more people following you than you've got that you're following, is this just part of her PR process or what? And I have to admit, I went over to her Twitter account, which is twitter.com/Oprah, and I have to say that, you know, reading through it, I'm not sure. I would be really, of course, I'd be surprised about this anyway, but I don't think she's writing it by, probably isn't writing any of this stuff, but, you know, it sounds like it's personal and everything else, but I don't believe it. It sounds to me like her assistant is writing it, but anyway.
Yeah, and you know what? I can shed some good light. I do represent actually a celebrity, which I won't mention, and he just said, hey, I need my Twitter account username and password. So I didn't tell you that, Scott, before, but it's pretty funny. And he's a big singer, a huge singer, actually, worldwide, and for R&B. But you know what's interesting is I think as far as the one-way conversation, that unfortunately is kind of weird, and it's just for their followers. And Oprah, I can't believe, when you said that she had, I didn't even look, when you said she had over 500,000 people following, first came to me was, wow, that's four times that the amount of Barack Obama had when he got elected, because I think he had about 122,000. And I'm shocked that Oprah just, you know, rolled out her Twitter and, you know, went to 500,000. And I'm thinking on the probability side of how that happened, is she had to have put it probably on, like, you know, it's funny, I'll catch an episode for kicks and giggles of Jerry Springer once a week, because I've been watching him when I was a little kid. And now I saw at the end, and I watch certain shows for certain reasons. Jerry Springer said, hey, we're on Twitter now. Follow us on Twitter. He's not writing anything. You know, Oprah's not writing anything. That just goes to their PR. That's definitely a PR thing, because whatever's, I know with, you know, the celebrities I've worked with, whenever I had to put something out, I had to get final approval first. And, you know, if anybody hires me for SEO, and I do their PRs or anything else, I, you know, don't need really approval.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's interesting, because, but at the same time, there's still a huge arena for, you know, Twitter's just kind of, I wonder if it's here to stay or if it's going to phase out or if it's going to change. Because I think those are maybe just, yeah, they're going to, Oprah's probably going to have somebody that's going to give all her information out, like she's actually personalizing it. And it's really for, you know, kind of the good thing too, I guess, with this now, me thinking about it, Oprah has a little older generation following her. When I say that, because I'm only, you know, I'm only 31, I don't mean any harm. I mean that,
yeah.
Her, you know, her following is, you know, literally mostly women in their probably, I'm guesstimating in their 30s to 40s to 50s and 60s. So that could help out with the internet. So, because you know what's interesting, and this is a stat I've seen on CNN, and it said 87% of people know what Twitter is. I was shocked.
That's,
you know,
surprising.
I thought it'd actually be the opposite. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's a close fact, but it's just nuts what's going on with Twitter. I'm still against, I'm trying to think how Twitter's going to make money, but people, you know, the listeners, the guys out there that have websites, blogs that, you know, are going to utilize Twitter, the way that I got a lot of people following me is I followed them. And you
yeah.
don't want to follow a certain amount of people in a certain amount of time, but unfortunately we can't be like the Oprahs of the world. And, you know, even, geez, even Snoop Dogg's got, I don't know, 100,000, you know, people on
here. This will blow your mind. Ashton Kutcher, the actor.
Ashton Kutcher, uh-huh.
1,359,294 followers.
Wow.
And what's
that, almost 1 point?
Yeah. Now, it's just amazing. And but I'm on his Twitter account, and you know what? Reading through it, if you told me he wrote it, I would believe you. Because it just, you know, there's just something when someone does it that, I don't know what it is, but like, I'm reading this stuff he's putting on there and I'm thinking, yeah, I could see that guy, you know, just doing this himself, right? But when I went to Oprah's, there was just something that just struck me as artificial. It was just strange. And, you know, I don't, you know, I know a lot of them probably if they blog or they do, you know, I'm sure everything gets scripted and all the rest of it, and they have assistants. And but even if you just said to your assistant, blah, 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 put that up on Twitter, at least it would, you know, if you went word for word, it would sound like it would be from Oprah, right? And I think that's where, you know, my whole thing with this, right, you know, are celebrities causing Twitter to evolve or devolve? Devolve. Why devolve? Because it's not the celebrity. You know, if Twitter is about you and me having a conversation or people listening to, you know, to know who I am, when I'm at Oprah's site, Twitter account, I don't feel that. I don't feel the love, Mike. You know, when
I agree, there's no love there.
No, and you know, and when I'm on Ashton's, I feel the love, right? So, you know, well, we're just jumping on to jump on. Oh, give me a break, please. However, having said that, you know, if 50 million people are now, you know, going on Twitter and having communications and you know, and are getting to understand each other and, you know, are more peaceful and all the rest of it, wonderful, right? But, you know, I don't see that coming out of her, I don't see that coming out of her account, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know the thing, there's always going to be for, I personally think there's always going to be another Twitter, just like there was another MySpace and it was a Facebook and, you know, it's, but yeah, and it's so funny that it's interesting too how these celebrities were jumping on this. You know, this particular celebrity that I represent, I mentioned it to him a year ago that he should be on there, and I've kept and reserved his name, and literally just last week, he emailed me and said, hey, Mike, what's my username and password, because I want to, you know, put my own tweets out. And I was, you know, that coming from a firm standpoint, an SEO firm, that's some of the services I provide. Like, you know, I've been talking to Mystery about it. I was putting, you know, and because some of these celebrities, unfortunately, don't have enough time, but at the same time, like a guy like Mystery is not as big as Oprah, of course, you know, not giving Mystery any discredit, but,
yeah.
You know, we'll just use him as an example, and hopefully we'll have him on the show, too, as well. I'm working on that, and the thing is I told Mystery, I said, well, the only thing I'm going to ask of you, and this is a realistic conversation, because it happened, of course, is I said, I just need to, you know, just to get a couple, just to get literally one email a week from you of a couple things that you want to address, and then that'll gonna go, and I can email you back, and, you know, and he said, okay, and I think that's kind of the, you know, on the small standpoint of really kind of good human interaction, because, hey, I talked to Mystery, and I'm going to represent him on Twitter. But with Oprah being completely busy as she is, you're definitely not getting Oprah. You know, you're getting somebody that's her assistant in some division that approves these and tells someone else what to put on.
Right.
I don't even think Oprah even follows her on Twitter and knows what goes on.
No.
She just trusts those sources.
I'm sure that she doesn't. And maybe I'm, you know, maybe I think we should be a little more transparent, right? If it was the Oprah Winfrey Show, you know, and she's, you know, so these are things that are happening, and I've got my assistant. Maybe I'm just splitting hairs here, but with all the stuff that she does, this is the one that seems to me to be the most impersonal, and it's just it's trying to sound personal, but it's not. And here's the thing: she is so concerned about, you know, AIDS in Africa or young kids in Africa or this thing or that thing, right? And so you would think that there's stuff there. I mean, there was something about the concubine thing that she mentioned in there, but you would think there'd be a lot more of that sort of thought going into her Twitter account than actually is. And maybe I just, that my cursory glance today for 4 minutes was not enough to give me a good enough sampling. I don't know, but it certainly was good enough for me to give a totally different opinion of Ashton's Twitter account, you know, Twittering, right? So, you know, if Oprah wants to get on the show and debate it with me, she's, of course, welcome, right?
Yeah, and I welcome her, too, because, you know what, since you mentioned that, I see your standpoint, and I completely agree with you that she could be using her sources. Because, see, the funny thing is, because I do, you know, as I mentioned, I represent celebrities, and their mentality is they got to just have it. It's like, let's say a new car. So Oprah's people said, hey, we got to be on Twitter because everybody else is, And but the problem is they're not, like you said, personalizing it, because she owns a magazine, she has a school in Africa, she supports aid, she does this, she does that, and a million other things. And they could have done certain sections or created even a few different Twitters to narrow the niche down to try to help for the better good by utilizing it, instead of just being, you know, hey, yeah, I have Twitter, I'm Oprah, you know? I agree.
Yeah.
Completely, and hopefully she does come and debate it, because she should use her power, like, you know, to do some good causes for it.
Right. So I'm going to read one just so you, because those of you that, I don't know when you're going to be listening to this, and I don't know what's going to be there, and you may say, well, I'm full of shit, right? So here it is. In the makeup chair, reading script for today's show. Shocking, all capital letters, video. Don't miss the beginning. Now there's no friggin' way that's Oprah talking. That is some copywriter writing it, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, in the makeup chair, reading the script, shocking video? Come on, right? I don't think so. And, you know,
that's
but there's
funny.
Other stuff, you know, it could be her, right? You know, the real Shaq, thanks for being my Twitter buddy, this is cool. You know, I don't know. But there's nothing in there except the thing about the pull the concubine show today. I thought it focused too much on killers. Hold the thought for the family's hard day for them. Okay, yeah, got it. Right. That, I mean, that is. But everything else was.
Wow.
You know.
Wow. She's getting her audience to believe that she's doing that. It's going to create just a closer and bigger brand. Unfortunately, the wrong way. But
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
but
I'm
for
just
everybody
thinking.
Mm-hmm.
500,000 people following. You know. So I mean, those are. You know. That's a lot of people. I think you could do more. Anyway, and I'm only saying that because she has set the bar so high. I mean, the stuff she does on her show, the stuff she does on her website, O Magazine, everything else. And so when she does something and it's in your and my backyard, you know, it's a big pile of poop. Get it out of here, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Play in your own backyard. Don't play in mine.
That's true. That is true. Wow, yeah. I'm just shocked. And, you know, and it doesn't take a lot of people for you to follow, I guess, as we see. You know, she's following 10, and I just looked at Matt Cutts' page, you know, twitter.com/Matt Cutts, which he does write himself, and I believe that. You know, I've heard that, and he's told me that, you know, a while ago. But he's only following 134 people, and actually, and I'm following him, so I was remembering, you know, about he followed a little bit more people. He was following about 40 about 6-8 months ago. So, but that kind of, and he's a director, you know, one of the big directors at Google. So that kind of just gives like a business standpoint for the business guys out there that, you know, just yeah, it's like he talks about the viral marketing, you know, so we can get out and push these celebrities out of the space.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you wanted to comment on this on Twitter and you think I'm full of it and that Oprah's doing the right thing and she's not causing Twitter to devolve, you can go to twitter.com/ScottPatton, P-A-T-O-N, 1-T in Patton, and follow me, and I guess I'll follow you, and you'll see that I, of course, maybe it's sour grapes because Oprah's got 552,000 followers and doing nothing, and I have 80. So you can decide, you know. But I think what I have on my page is way more interesting than what she's got on her page, especially if you're into internet marketing. So, and I write it, Mike. Nobody else writes it, which is why you don't see something every 2 minutes.
That's funny. I just put a tweet out on mine. I put Oprah has 500,000 followers, and she is not even tweeting the info. Laugh out loud, and gave out the link. I'm shocked because I didn't real. You know, I was following Barack and certain other people, and they actually had a list of the big Twitter followers. And at the time of the election, Barack Obama was the biggest. He was the biggest as far as how many people are following him. And now I'm just completely shocked to see that. You know, Oprah is going to surpass literally what he did in building up a campaign over months. He did in a couple of days, but because I'm thinking the power too of the news,
yeah,
or
and
the
TV
after her shows.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
she
TV
just has
exactly.
to say it on TV, and I mean, you know, there's millions of people going there right away, right? So, and
yeah,
some
exactly.
of those are going to get accounts, and that's cool. So, from the perspective of It's allowing people. I really believe that any tool like your blog, like Twitter, Facebook, that allows you to reach out and connect with people around the world is a good thing. Because if I know somebody in Iraq, I will probably have a lot different opinion of them than if I don't. Just using that as an example. And that's, I really believe, the Berlin Wall came down because of the internet and the communication. And once you get people communicating what's really going on, one of the things that put, I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here again, you know, the tsunami that hit Southeast Asia, right? You know, the news say, oh yeah, you know, this big wave hit Thailand, you know, no big deal. And all these bloggers were blogging, oh yeah, you know, here are pictures, here's what's really going on. You know, when you get the truth, I mean, it made the newspapers look like idiots, but, you know, because they weren't really reporting. They were a bit lazy. And I think that if we can do more and more one-on-one communication, and you can see what I'm twittering about, and I can see what you're twittering about, or you can get on my blog, I can get on your blog, you can listen to my podcast, I listen to your podcast, however it is, the more of that interconnection that goes on, the less we believe the lies that we get fed every day that cause hate and war and corruption and all the rest of it. And I just think that's why I think, you know, the internet is changing our world, and it's going to continue to change it. And we need to stand up, step up, and make sure we keep it free and safe for all of us to use. So there's today's rant. And Mike, I think we need to move on to your rant, because you've been talking to me about this for 3 weeks now, and this is the first time we've had time. Yeah, actually, really don't have time, but we're going to make time, because as a producer and sponsor of the show, I can make this as long or as short as I want. But we need to talk about employment companies and what they're doing with the emails of people that sign up or want to look for work. Because, I mean, we see in the news all the time, 100,000 people laid off here, 200,000 people laid off there. What are they going to do? They're going to be going online looking for jobs. But that's a problem. So let us tell us what's going on there, Mike.
Yeah, that's a huge problem, actually. Unfortunately, since the economy is so bad, a lot of people that are out of jobs are very vulnerable to online practices. And what's happening is these makeshift staffing companies are just being built. They're actually, I know the ideas come from overseas when we usually get attacked here just on the main internet turf, as I'll call it. But, you know, they could be, well, put it this way. I mean, you got to have a pretty rough mentality just to capture people's info. The gist of it is don't believe all that's real, because a lot of, like, even like, I mean, CareerBuilderMonster.com are the two most reliable companies. But what I did was is to do a research, and this was actually research for another company that was building a combated way to combat this type of spam. I had some resumes posted. I had my guys create, and I oversaw and created profiles on CareerBuilder and Monster.com. And what happened was the responses I was getting were people acting like they are the direct hirer, and then when you ask them. Then they say, oh, we're a staffing company, but we need you to fill out this information, and don't worry, we have a huge database. Well, the thing is now, okay, if that's true, and I'm sure that these big companies are making money, they're going to protect themselves from the law, and they probably bought a database off somebody or off another site or merged, you know, like we talked about High Five. They already have a database of 80 million emails, so there's their email list. But on the other side is these staffing companies will tell you that they have an email list. But what I would do is be very careful, because what they're doing is they're taking your resume, they're taking your name, phone number, they get everything, boom. They're getting more than the High Fives got on those 80 million emails, you know, to up to 200 million emails they have. They're getting your address, your name, your phone number, everything you've done, and people are so vulnerable because they're so desperate that they lead you on, unfortunately, and it's terrible, beyond terrible, that they go and fill out all this other information. So then, okay, now they're going to sell the information, like these trials that I've seen through various sites, and I did my little bit on reporting them too as well. So because I'm a all in fairness type guy, and I don't like when people literally just try to act like somebody else just to get your info and run. I'm completely against that, and because I have the power to combat that because of my knowledge and my licenses I have with SEO. But just be careful. And my advice is, if you are blogging and you're out of work right now, get with a local staffing company you could walk into. I would kind of stay away from the online arena right now, or go ahead and post online, but make sure to ask these companies if they're staffing directories and say, oh yeah, no, well that's the best thing because we, you know, we're the direct hirer. You know, the thing is, I mean, you know, I know these big companies, they outsource, but I still don't believe it because, you know what, here's another thing actually, and this is from my feasible study. I've gotten emails back of, I'll put them on blast, cybercoders.com, right? Cybercoders.com is actually, they're a career builder of the internet. You know what they do? And I think they're actually playing a part in this too. I'm not putting them on blast on that part, but what I've seen is from me just seeing their emails of the four fictitious people I set up saying that, oh, this position is open 2 months, 2 months from now. You know, you're still thinking about that in your mind, right? You know, $150,000 job or 200, you know, whatever it is. And then they send you an email telling you the position's been closed. That's how they're getting away with it. So the thing is just be very careful. And I thought CyberCoders was a very reputable company. Now, that could be true, but at the same time, I personally believe that's a standard method for spam in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and
I think that's really, really good information and really important because we need to protect our information. And people, once you get on someone's list and then they're selling it and everything else, it's not good. And I think these people are violating trust, and that's never a good thing because now we all end up not trusting each other more and more and more, and that's not good. So do it with reputable companies only, and I really agree with you. I mean, you're looking at a local a problem, right? You don't want to get hired for a job halfway around the world. So, talk to the local recruiters and make sure you're dealing with reputable people when you're doing that. And it's, I think, just shocking that people are taking advantage of the misfortune of huge numbers of people the way that they are. So,
yeah. And unfortunately, these mind thinkers, the way they think, they've been in the industry before and they've been hiring them around some big names like Lower My Bills and other mortgage sites and housing sites reselling information to multiple different people. And unfortunately, that's the way the industry has been set, and those people have the power to do it and manipulate it. But me and Scott mentioned, just find the most reputable companies and just steer away from the idea, some of the spam techniques I mentioned a little earlier. And but it ain't going to stop, unfortunately.
No.
You know, I'm doing what I can, and it's going to hit them hard too. But I'm doing what I can. But I'm just one person, and you know, and everybody else in my industry is concerned about money. You know, and I'm actually concerned about the well-being and the treatment of human beings online.
Awesome, and I think that's something that we forget about when you're in a high-tech industry like the internet is. I mean, it's totally high-tech. It's fiber optics and computers and everything else. You need to make sure that you have high touch. And I think that's one of the reasons why podcasting is so cool and so, this is real live. I mean, we're talking, we're not editing, we're not scripting, we're not reading, except when I read a little bit of what Oprah, and then you knew I was reading Oprah, wasn't me. And I think that's really important. And I think we're going to see huge growth in podcasting coming up. And if you want a podcast, here's the commercial. If you want a podcast, you can get one for free. It's in beta testing right now. It's got all the bells and whistles and getting more bells and whistles according to my specifications at mypodcastworld.com. And if you want to register for a free account, you have to go /register. It's not open to the public. It's only open to members of our viewing audience or listening audience, I guess I should say. And the other thing that's happening is really quite exciting, and I just got an email as we were talking, is I am doing a series of Get It Now shows with Stephanie Hartman, and the first one that we're going to be doing is on podcasting. So I'm just trying to see if she sent me something about it, and I don't know what the... I don't know what the domain is. Is it our... My email program is going nuts on me. Here we go. She told me. Oh, she attached it. Okay. So yeah, I'll in the next week or two, I'll let you know about how to join us and listen in on that that series of shows. We're going to do a series of Get It Done because she felt, you know, there's so much information, there's so many things, like where do you start? So we said, okay, we're going to pick one thing and we're going to do it each month. And the first one we started on was podcasting, and we're going to follow it up with one on blogging, and then there'll be all sorts of other different topics ongoing. But each month we're going to get one thing done. And I'm very excited about doing that show. It's going to be a lot of fun. And also it's going to be very productive.
Yeah. And you know what I was thinking? Just I wanted to mention a light idea that just blinked in my head. I wish, you know, that a lot of these companies would put a podcast of an of employment out for people. Like, instead of actually these BS emails that are copied and pasted, actually you hear somebody's voice and saying, okay, this is you know, we'll just use CNN. This is CNN. We're looking for engineers, this, that, you must have this, that, this, and that. I mean, that would be huge because they actually took the time out to do that, and that shows more credibility.
Yeah. That's interesting. See, there's another application for podcasts. I mean, if you were a legitimate recruiter, you could do a podcast. Say, okay, well, today we're looking for an announcer for CNN, a sanitation engineer for the city of New York, a CEO for the Internet Marketing Center, and on and on and on she goes, right?
Yeah. Well, we could start the trend.
There you go. Well, Mike, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate you spending time on the show again today. If you want to know more about Mike Rotkin and SEO and all that search engine optimizing, all that sort of good stuff, you can head over to www.seochampion.com/SEO blog. Lots of really good information there. And if you've enjoyed this show, go over to www.askscottpaton.com. Leave some comments. Let us know what you thought. If you've got any questions, got any issues, burning desires, things you want to know about, let us know, because we'd be delighted to talk about them. If you're into direct response sales copy, I write that. The last one I did, he launched on Thursday. I didn't think I told you this, Mike. And Thursday and Friday did $100,000 in sales.
Wow.
Yeah. So, of course, I always say you have to have a good product, you have to have good affiliates, you have to have a good system, and you have to have a good idea, and you have to have good sales copy for that all to come through. So if you've got a lousy product, don't call me, because I can't help you, and I don't want to be part of selling garbage. But if you've got a great product, and you're wondering about what you should be doing and how you should be doing it, I can help you with that, and I can write a kick-ass sales letter for you, because I just can.
Yeah, and you can, because when you showed me that example, I was extremely impressed, and I've seen a lot of different things over the many years and the many website developers I've employed and still do retain, and I'm shocked, because you know what it's about? It's about the brain that you put in and the thought to be able to capture the attention, and just nobody, it's very hard to find someone that can do that. And me being used to be a sales manager for Sprint Nextel, I mean, you'd think I could, and I was just blown away by what you did. So I completely endorse it, you know, let alone that I've mentioned to you that we're going to utilize it, you know, and work together. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So if you want to know more about that, head over to www.extremecopy.com. So that's it for today. Mike, any parting words before we sign off?
No, I don't think so. I think we'll leave them probably for next week. And, you know, and just good luck to everybody out there, and just watch those end links, you know, because those are going to be, we've been using the word ass, so ass biters in the near future. And unfortunately, you know, and you know what's going to be interesting? I can't wait to see actually how some of these big websites get docked, because there's no, like, the good thing for us, since we're a lot smaller than an Amazon or a BestBuy.com or, you know the Canucks, you know, main site, they can't go sift through and email 20,000 websites that are linking into them. So it's going to be real interesting.
It really is. Awesome. So thanks for joining us, everybody. You've been listening to the Internet Marketing Unleashed podcast. I'm Scott Patton, the Dean of Blogonomics and Podology, and we'll see you all next time. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.